This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into this week. We have got a lot of crew stuff to get to. We've got some European soccer stuff to get to, some Champions League related things, all kinds of goodness for you. And, you know, the main thing we have for you is the presence of us.
Yes.
We are here.
We're here.
It's been last few weeks have been a little up and down with kids, health.
Yeah, so last week,
stuff going on.
I had
busy.
Was it on Wednesday or Thursday last week?
I think
it was Thursday.
Yeah, because I was off. I feel like I was off Tuesday, Wednesday.
And it's that time of the year, too. Like, we're
everybody's
taking PTO.
Burning vacation. Yeah.
We don't have rollover days, so everybody's trying to get all their days in before the end of the year, and things happen. And so, like, I was doing the show on Thursday. I was sitting in here doing the morning show, and I had sent you a prep sheet, you know, for the show that we were going to do. And classic, coming off of Thanksgiving. Willie hanging out with his cousins who are 4 and 2, mm-hmm. about to be 5 and 3. In
little
these next
germ factories.
Little straight up germ factories, uh-huh. and they're in daycare. And
yep.
so it's like clockwork. So like this Sunday, we're going to Santa Brunch with them.
Uh-huh.
We're spending the weekend in Dayton with Meredith's mom, which will hang out with the cousins, which will be fantastic because he has an awesome time with them. He will be sick again. But we were coming off of Thanksgiving. He gets back on Saturday. All's good. Monday doesn't feel the best. Tuesday and Wednesday, you could see he was declining a little bit. Then Thursday morning, he woke up and it was bad. Like he had a hard, didn't really sleep at night. So like I was up basically all like Wednesday night into Thursday, which is fine. Like that's what you want to do. You want to make sure that
no,
he's
but
comfortable.
It's a long day for a parent, especially doing what we do where you have to sit here and you have to, like, you can't just be in your office kind of like clicking through emails and, you know, zooming, like turning your screen off on Zoom.
I gotta be mad about Ohio State, Michigan again for like the fourth day in a row. So I gotta do that.
You gotta work up the energy, right?
And so, you know, I send you the sheet. We're good. We're getting ready to record. Meredith sends me a text at like 6:30. Goes, hey, he's miserable. He's having a hard time breathing. Monica's coming, who's our babysitter. She does a terrific job. She usually watches him from like 7 to 10 or 7 to 11 and comes to home. So he's not in daycare. And then I text her at, I don't know, 7:30, 7:45, like, hey, if you need anything, let me know. And she's like, he's miserable. I don't know what to do. I can't really help him. I'm like, all right, I should go home.
Yeah.
And it was scary too, because he was like, he was wheezing, he was having trouble breathing. Like you could see like air being sucked in through his neck. And I'm like, anytime that happens, like that's a little nervy.
It's like where they get those spasmy kind of coughs where they can't catch their breath.
Yeah,
and you're like,
and like that's,
ah,
you know,
come on,
I just
kid.
I wanna so we hung out, we watched Bluey. For, you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes. And usually so I'll put him down. We usually have lunch at like 11. Nap time's like 11:30, 11:45. If it's a good nap, it goes till 3, which is, he crushes those,
beautiful.
Which is great. And so I didn't know. It's like 10 o'clock. I'm asking him, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to play? Do you want to watch a show? Do you want to read a book? Do you want to eat? And he just, like, kept pointing to his room, and he's like, nap. Nap. He's just doing that. Nap.
He's pointing to, like, nap.
Okay, we're just going to take a nap. And he slept from like 10 o'clock till 3:30.
Man.
Crushed a midday sleep.
Yeah,
basically.
Big one.
Got up, still wheezing a little bit. By the way, Vicks VapoRub, unbelievable. Like,
oh,
works,
it's crazy, right?
Works like Matt. It's insane. It's like a spell.
Oh, yeah.
It's witchcraft.
They say that we don't have witches in cauldrons. And it's
Vicks.
Like, but here's a little potion. You mix it up. You put it on their belly or their chest. And then suddenly they breathe and they're fine.
Yeah. And then he got up after the nap, after the vapor rub. And he was like feeling better. Not great. He was up until like 6:45 for three hours. Went back to sleep the next morning till 8 a.m. And then he was like, boom, like shot out of a cannon, was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they just, it's crazy how when you don't have the constraints of school, work, life, where you're just a little baby, a little kid, mm-hmm. where you don't have any of that. And your body is just like, you need to sleep now. And you're like, done. And you just go to bed.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm going to be up for a few hours, get some food in me, go right back to bed, get another 10 hours, 12 hours of sleep.
After dinner at like 6 o'clock, he's like, bed, sleep. Sleep, bed. I'm like, all right, let's go to bed now.
I'm just saying, like, most of us are like, well, I'd like to take a 5-hour nap in the middle of the day, but I have meetings and a job, or you're in school.
Or my nighttime sleep would be ruined.
Yeah, but, like, when you're sick, that's probably what you need.
Yeah.
That's probably like as good of any, the medicine's great too. Take the medicine, but also get the rest. I usually just am the take the medicine and then don't get any rest guy. I just keep plowing through. And then a week later, I'm like, why do I still feel like this? That's why. Cause you didn't get the rest. Willie, learn from Willie.
I should.
Get
I should
sleep.
Learn from him.
We got to take those
but
days.
But he's feeling
sleep.
Better now. We're all good. But that's the reason why we didn't record, because I had to go home and be with him.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. Just while we're here, are you here next week or are you off?
I am. What is next week? I'm here all the way until.
Next week's the week before Christmas. I can't believe I just said
I'm
those
here
words.
Every day but Monday next week.
Okay. So we'll have a podcast next week for you.
Are you too?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good.
And then the next couple weeks after
then,
that, Christmas and New Year's, and don't even just
Christmas week. I think I'm working the 23rd after the Buckeye game, and then I'm off the rest of the week.
Let's say we're going to do this podcast next week, and then we'll probably take a couple weeks off around Christmas. Come back in early January.
Holiday
we'll
break.
Yeah, we'll be back. Probably Deal. After. Yeah. All right. That sounds good.
After the 2036 World Cup in Saudi Arabia, we'll be back.
I like that we're getting so. It's good that we're already putting that stake in the ground, right?
Isn't it 2036?
Is it that or is it? I mean, it wouldn't be 2030. Well, there's 2030, and then there's 2034.
Oh, yeah, so it's 2034. Because 2030 is like a multi-continental one between like Morocco, Spain, Uruguay.
Oh, that's right.
That's Wales.
Is that the 100th or something?
I don't know.
Anniversary of the original?
Yeah, that seems
And that's like why they're doing it? Because Uruguay was like the first host or won the first one or both, I think. Anyway, who cares?
And then we get 2026. So, yeah, they're rubber stamping all of that today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they're, you know what?
And I heard like Premier League teams and big dog teams are already pissed about the schedule in 2034 because they're moving the World Cup back to the winter.
What do they care? Like, I mean, at this point, it's like the guys who are going to be playing that tournament are 9. Like, what are we worried about?
If that.
Yeah, I'm saying, you got like 9 and 10 year olds right now are going to be the stars of that tournament. Yeah. You're like, I don't like it. And it's like, but they're going to be playing 100 games as kids now. They're going to get them ready. It's like the same thing in Major League Baseball.
They'll be fine.
When they found out that, like, oh, hey, you're only going to have to go for, like, 5 innings, then they taught kids to throw 100 and not worry about preserving your arm. And now you got all these dudes in Major League Baseball who blow their arms out throwing at 105. But they know, like, I don't have to go past the 6th inning.
Yeah.
They adjust. So now
I have to throw 72 pitches, and I'm good. By the way,
the next Lamine Yamal is going to play 200 youth games before he ever, like, you know what I mean?
And
before
he's playing in America
every
right
year.
Now.
Sure. Oh, God. I would love that.
By the way, side nugget here. I hate you.
Why?
I mean,
that's fine. I'm very hateable.
The fact that it's an interesting dichotomy for me because you're obviously a diehard Crew fan.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about Messi and all these teams bringing in superstars. And the fact that your baseball team is the Mets and you just signed Juan Soto to a $750 million contract, it doesn't make sense to me, your fandom. It doesn't.
No,
I don't get it.
The only reason I'm a Mets fan, for those who would wonder, because, yeah, I am from Ohio. I have no other New York teams. My dad is from New Jersey. And he, as a kid, only cared about one thing, and that was baseball. Mm-hmm. And so he watched the New York Mets. That was his team. He went to Shea when he was a little tyke. And so he's been a fan ever since. Was there, like, had trading cards from the 69 World Series team, all that stuff. So my dad has been in since day one of the Mets. I mean, he was born in 58. They came around in 62. So that's my one. When he got out of high school, he went in the Air Force and moved around. He was in Dallas or in the Texas area. I'm not sure where he was stationed in Texas. I forget. But at whatever air base he was in, everything was Cowboys. And so Roger Staubach, he was a Cowboys fan, still is, still roots for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I grew up like with my dad being a Cowboys fan.
America's team.
Yeah. But that was, I mean, he was a fan of them when they were god awful too. And so he is a Mets fan, a Cowboys fan, and then, like, a fan of Ohio State football, the Blue Jackets, the Crew, and then no basketball team, like, no NBA team because we lived here. But he likes basketball. He'll watch basketball. He'll watch OSU men's basketball and women's basketball, all that. But, like, so that's my – I didn't grow up in a house with, like, we're Browns, we're Guards or Indians back in the day, we're, you know, Cavs. It wasn't, like, all Cleveland or all Cincy or all whatever. It was a hodgepodge. So I grew up – and basically said, all right, well, Dad likes this. We don't have a baseball team here. I'll take Dad's team on that.
That's how I am with my dad and the Bears. That's how I became a Bears fan.
Oh, okay. So your dad's a Bears fan.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You grew up in Dayton.
Yes.
You're a Bears fan.
So did he.
There you go. But he still liked the Bears.
And we're both Reds fans.
Now, you know, it's, again, we'll get to soccer in a second, but a weird thing I found when I worked in Dayton for a time with sports fans, there were so many Browns-Reds fans.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them in Columbus, too. That's what I grew up with. A lot of my buddies were Browns-Reds fans. And I have thought about this a lot. I have talked about this with, like, Ryan Baker, who is also, like, you know, like, he's from Columbus guy, all that stuff. Like, I think it's just if you are a certain age, your family here was like, well, the only team in Ohio is the Browns for a long, like for some of these guys, right? That's what they grew up with. And then they were, but they're closer to the Reds when they were good in like the 70s, Pete Rose and all that. So they're like, oh yeah, I'm a Browns fan because they're the only NFL team, but I will take this Reds team because they're an hour and a half away. And then over time,
now it's Guardians Bengals. Now it's I'm a Guards fan, but Joe Burrow's down with the Bengals.
Are there people that do that? There can't be as many. I mean, I'm telling you, every kid I was with growing up, it seemed like, was a Browns Reds fan, even though the Bengals existed.
Yeah.
But their dads were Browns fans and Reds fans, and that's how they grew up. And now I think you don't see that as much because you see people who are like, yeah, I grew up in Cleveland. I moved down to Columbus. I have all the Cleveland teams, or I have all the Cincy teams. And those teams have been around long enough that now there are people whose dads grew up with the Bengals and with the, you know, Reds. And that's the fan base. But yeah.
Anyways,
Dayton is a big Reds Browns town.
It's a weird city. It's a weird sports city for sure.
Sorry to derail what you were saying.
I hate you still because of the Juan Soto contract.
You should hate me.
I saw your tweet. Blah. You're going to get blocked. You're ruining Steve Cohen's ruining the sport.
He is ruining the sport. But if he ruins it and gives me a champion. Hey, by the way, I just want to point out, let's. And again, I'm not defend. I know what it is, right? It's same thing like what you said with Miami.
Yeah.
You know, however, here's my defense of it. Would you rather have that or have an ownership that says, where are you going to go?
Yeah, I know.
Right? Would you rather have that or
no, I'm very jealous.
Like
that's
the Dolans.
That's why I hate you.
Who are like, oh, we've got like one of the best, like perhaps the best infielder in baseball. But he doesn't hit well enough and we paid him $100 million. Let's get rid of him before any of that contract actually comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. And then the argument is they'll save the money. They can use it to go get starting pitching or some bats. Will they? No. They never do.
Yes, they will.
No, they did this this is what they did with Jose Ramirez. They saved money on Jose Ramirez because
he
took a hometown. No. He took a hometown discount. They should be, the argument was, oh, great. Now they can use all that extra money they should have spent on him and go get other guys. It's like, they won't. They don't. And the money they saved with Jimenez, trading him away. Andres Jimenez, gone.
Eric has blacked out in the first 12 minutes of this podcast.
I know. Well, you know what? We never get to talk the other sports, you and I. We come in here, we talk soccer. Yeah. Ryan Day, good, bad, where you at? What's the expectation? If they win two games but then lose in, like, the final four.
It just depends on how they look.
All right.
That's where I'm at. I'm not, like.
I would have fired him last year.
I know you would have. I know you would have.
So I'm right there.
No, I can't get there right now. I can't.
I'm there.
It's just it's such an albatross.
Bring in my
Vrabel. Game is such an albatross. Well, he's not coming. Why are
no,
you?
No,
why
he will.
Are you? No, he's
he'll
not.
He
coming.
Wants it. He
have
wants
you
it.
Heard him talk about college recruiting and how he hated it?
Yeah.
And now you add in the transfer portal and NIL, and he will hate it even more.
Oh, dude, we could do 3 hours on this. You're so wrong. But it's okay.
Not wrong.
You're wrong.
I know for a fact.
No, I know what he said. He also said he would chop his own penis off to win a Super Bowl. The man is a little crazy.
Yeah, not a college football championship.
No, he would for that.
No, he wouldn't.
I
No, he's not going
to
do it.
Coming up next, we debate whose genitals will be chopped off to win games. No, like I do think he would say, I don't want to be the guy. I'm not the defensive tackles coach anymore.
He's going to be coaching the Bears next season.
No.
He's going to be busy.
Stop. Stop putting your Bears fandom. Great. That's what you know what? Your Bears organization is so screwed. They could have got Belichick in his prime, and it would have gone south.
Like, of course it would have.
So don't put that evil on Mike Vrabel. We want him to coach a team that has a chance to win.
Phone, he's not
being held back by
Ohio
its dumb
State.
Coach.
Stop leading the mob.
I get the pitchforks. Let's go.
Stop doing it.
Get the pitchforks.
Stop doing it.
All right. Enough of that. You hear that from, I don't know, sun up
six,
to sundown on 97.1 The Fan.
Six, yeah.
You hear it every day on The Fan. So you can go get that. Beam and I never get to do it together, though. So that's fun.
I'm just glad to know that you were wrong. So
wrong about what?
Just everything.
Okay. I mean, I get why you hate. I get why you hate the baseball thing. That's totally fine. All right. So let's dive in, Dive. Let's dive in, Mike.
Hey, Dive.
The crew, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about here. We could talk about the fact that we know the path for Champions League for them.
Yeah, you just want to do a little housekeeping, a little off-season update with them as to where we stand.
Yeah, well, we could do that. We have the Champions Cup thing. We have the fact that there is an expansion draft, and guys are
tonight.
Available. Tonight. Is, tonight. So depending on when you hear this, it may have already happened. And then we got to figure out, and we had some questions on Twitter. We'll start here with the Champions Cup final, or Champions Cup competition for CONCACAF. The crew, because of how they finished last year, being a finalist, they are already into the round of 16.
We won Leagues Cup. That's why they're into the round of 16.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I'm wrong. I thought it was because they got to the final last year.
No, it's because they won Leagues Cup.
Dude, they should have been. All right. Good for them.
Yeah.
Glad that they did that.
It's like the Galaxy also have a fast pass into the round of 16.
They do.
By the way, weird thing about the Champions Cup this year, I don't think Pachuca is in it.
Well, that's something.
They are not in.
I don't see them.
Champions Cup. Yeah, they're not in there.
Wow. Okay.
Thought that if you won the year prior, you would automatically get in.
I guess it would have nothing. Wow. Okay.
That's strange.
Unless we're missing something. Yeah, unless did they change their name? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did.
I don't know. Maybe it's because they're going to be in the Champions Club World Cup thing. Maybe that's why.
Maybe, but Miami's
in that
too.
But so is Miami. They're going to be in it. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Well, anyway, here's what we've got. The crew will face the winner of LAFC in Colorado. So LAFC.
Up the pids.
They will host that round of 16 match coming up in March.
Yeah, so the match days for this, you're looking at the first and second week of March. Again, remember, these are two leggers. So round of 16, round of 8, round of 4, semifinals, into the other than the final, that's a one legger. These are March 4th, the week of March 4th all the way through the 13th. So just mark your calendars for that as the crew are ramping up the beginning of MLS season.
Yeah, they have to jump right in.
That is fairly early on into these midweek games that you're going to either be playing on a Tuesday or a Wednesday against Colorado or LAFC. So those games are going to be played March 4th through the 13th.
Yeah. So they have a very good chance they could play Miami as well in this, because it's LAFC Colorado. If the crew win that round, which is not a given, obviously, the winner of Miami and Sporting Kansas City would play a team called Cavalier.
Don't know anything about them.
Hashtag let them know.
Yeah.
Best team in the NBA.
Cavalanche.
That's right. So the winner of the Miami Sporting Kansas City game plays the winner of, or plays Cavalier, whatever. And then the winner of that matchup would play the winner of the crew LAFC Colorado matchup. So there's a chance that you start off the season with two MLS teams, and that could get you to the semi. If you win those two matchups, it gets you to the semifinals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nice road. I'm saying you don't have to go to Mexico. Possibly you could have a thing where you stay in the continental U.S., you know, for all the way up to the round of four semifinals. That's really good. So yeah, definitely like to see that. Trying to see
Cavalier FC completed a comeback effort to return to you win the CONCACAF Caribbean Cup.
Okay.
All right.
What country do we know where they're from?
I don't know, Bone. You're asking.
You know what?
Too.
But they won this cup that got them ahead of Miami and Sport. Like Miami, yeah. Sporting Kansas City will play, and then they this team is already in there. So yeah, you've got Real Salt Lake, LA Galaxy, FC Cincinnati,
Jamaica.
Oh, they're from Jamaica. Nice. Yeah. Seattle. You have on the other side, you have Vancouver, you have Miami and Sporting Kansas City, LAFC, Colorado, and of course the crew.
Would love to
see. Those are all your MLS teams in this thing.
If you could sign me up for a final between, or at least in the semifinals, I guess this would how it would be the way to work out to get to Champions Cup final.
Oh.
Vancouver and the crew.
Hell yeah.
Home and away. That sounds like a pretty awesome trip for us to make.
That would be, you know what? I'd love that. I would, oh, dude, that would be, I do want to go to an away leg.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun.
I agree.
Let's put the show out there. Let's make it happen. On that bottom half of that bracket, Monterey, Vancouver, Saprissa, Pumas, Cavalry? Not Cavalier, Cavalry.
No, Cavalry and Cavalier.
All right. Those
There's
are some
great teams I've never heard of before.
I know, but that's, I love it. This is great. So
how would you like, by the way, the other side of the bracket, Club America's already in the round 16. They play the winner at Guadalajara and Cibao. But this next matchup. So Seattle gets drawn against Antigua. So the Sounders play Club Antigua. I'm guessing. Okay. I don't know where they're at. I'm figuring.
Yeah, I'm guessing Antigua.
I'm guessing they're in Antigua. But they play the winner of Cruz Azul. How would you like your club to be named Real Hope? So nice. Real Hope.
Real Hope. Real Hope, real change.
That's great.
Real Hope and real change.
That's great.
All right.
Man, Pachuca's not in this.
No, they're not. You're right. See ya. What happened? They get penalized? They get relegated? I don't know.
What happened?
You know what? That's what they get. See? They won that battle, but we're going to win the war? I don't know. All I know is if you go on the road in Mexico.
My God, they finished 16th in the Apertura this year.
Wow. They must have gotten rid of there either had to be a points deduction or they just got rid of everybody for some unknown reason. I don't know what happened there. We should look that up. You know what? Next week, what the hell happened to Pachuca?
I don't know.
Bone and Beam United.
They finished 7th in the Apertura or the Clausura.
That's stunning.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, something that the Crew are going to have to figure out. There are a lot of roster moves to kind of decide here as we get into the fact that, look, after the holiday season, preseason is going to be starting up for the Crew. So the next couple of weeks are going to be very busy for this team, which they always are right after MLS Cup, right? So here's who you have. You have the Crew's expansion draft unprotected list.
FC San Diego coming in, right?
That's right. They're the new team. They get to pick some players. Explain the rules on this again, Beam.
Yeah, so rules are for the expansion draft. Now, you only get 5 picks. San Diego, the new team, only gets 5 picks once a player is selected from said club. Now, everybody in MLS, all the teams, had to put players who were designated up for the expansion draft. Once a player is selected from your team, you can't take multiple. So, like, they get 5 picks. Let's say they pick someone from the Crew. They can only take one player from the Crew out of their 5 picks. That's how this works.
And so there's a very good chance that none of the Crew players get taken. But again, the Crew are one of the best rosters in MLS, so there's a chance someone would get taken because it would be smart to grab a player off of that list. However, I have a reason why I'm cautiously optimistic that won't happen. But here are the guys who are eligible to be picked in this expansion draft by the new San Diego team. Evan Bush, Dylan Chambeau, Nicholas Hagan, Andres Herrera, DeJuan Jones, Derek Jones, Alexander Matan, who's no longer with the team. He's already transferred. Abraham Romero and Yao Yeboah. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're wondering on the Alex Matan thing, I believe that's the rights to him should he come back to MLS.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't go through the reentry process. He would just, you know, or if he does, San Diego would have the first chance to sign him.
Yeah.
So an interesting thought there. Did you notice that the Crew and FC San Diego or San, what are they called?
I don't know. San Diego
Whales Vagina.
Yeah.
Yes. They did a trade with the Crew for an international roster spot and some Tam and Gam went flying around.
Did they?
Yeah. Nice. They did that this week.
Okay.
That to me signifies usually when a team does that, that's a savvy way of saying, hey, here's some stuff. Don't take one of our players. Or if you do want to take one of our players, like, what would you like instead of that player? And they say, well, we'd like an international roster spot, or we'd like some cash, we'd like some whatever. So it wouldn't totally surprise me if the Crew have already, if Issa Tall has already worked out, like, hey, as long as you don't take these guys,
nod, wink, wink,
we'll do this deal.
Yeah.
And so that may be, you know, who knows? I could say that. Like, I wouldn't want to see DeJuan Jones leave.
No.
Personally, I think that was a great move by the Crew. I'd like them to keep him. I know some people aren't as high on him, but I think he is extraordinarily talented. And I do think...
Or Chambeau. I would like to see him a little more.
I think we're gonna need a guy like him, too.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who can play a few different positions on that back line, especially. So those are guys that I would not like to see taken. It would be hilarious to me if they took Alex Matan. And just that was the deal, was like, hey, take a guy who's not even here, and then they get his rights, and that was what this trade was all about. I don't know. Fine. Yao Yeboah is interesting.
In the reentry process, I believe, Yao Yeboah.
Oh, is he? Yeah, right, because he didn't get signed.
Yeah, I think so.
They didn't pick up his option, so he is, yeah, so he's technically still, his rights are with the Crew. It's all very confusing. Mm-hmm. Did you also see, and again, this is a little off of what we were planning on talking about, there was news that they are talking about seriously in MLS, allowing, because technically right now, even though there is, you know, targeted allocation money, general allocation money, all these MLS arcane roster rules, they don't technically say hi, I want that player from your roster. Here's a $10 million transfer fee, and then we just get the player. That doesn't happen in MLS, right? You can trade Gam, you can trade Tam, you can trade stuff like that, but you can't just go out and do a transfer fee like you can with a player, say, in Europe.
Which is dumb.
It is dumb, and they're talking about now making that a thing you can do
in MLS.
That
makes a lot more sense.
Right. So
everything goes in the same finance bucket.
Yeah, it would make a lot. I think it would just make it easier for people who are trying to get into, you know, Major League Soccer. Like, I know that the Messi fans, we have talked about this whole phenomenon with Lionel Messi, and say what you want. I obviously am not a huge fan of this way of building a fan base in a league. But the positive for it is that you do have just generally more people are paying attention to Major League Soccer. The problem becomes when you have stupid rules like this, those people are like, oh, so you're a real soccer league? Wow, you have Lionel Messi? Okay, well, I kind of know how soccer works. So he has a transfer fee. Could like LAFC buy him? And the answer is no, not right now. That's not even a thing.
Yeah.
So it could, not that Messi, he would be exempt, I'm sure, from all that anyway. Yeah. But the point is, players don't get moved that way in MLS. You have to trade them like you do in North American sports. But any other player out in the world of soccer, there's this different system to get them, which is like how the rest of soccer works. Major League Soccer, I would hope, will make that change.
But it's different when you want to pay someone from a different club, let's say in Europe, to then bring them in.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Like, yeah. Like Cucho Hernandez, if a club in Europe wants him, they will have to pay a transfer fee. If a team in, you know, no team in MLS is going to be able to trade for him, but they would have to send like picks and players and Gam and Tam.
Want that.
It's like, no, I just give me cash and then I go get who I want. Yeah. If you were like, that's the thing. Now, what that will mean is, one, that's going to make it a little more cutthroat in MLS. If that happens, you will see the lesser than teams who maybe haven't as been perennially good, who might be in smaller markets, say, sure, LAFC, we developed this guy. You can have him. And here, they're, oh, you're going to give us $10 million? Sweet. Like, that will happen.
I think it'd be good for business.
It would. And I think it also, one of the unforeseen things of how the system works, you really do undercut how good your players are mm-hmm. when they can't compete within their own league. Like, you watch English Premier League, you watch Spanish League, you watch any of these leagues, you will see guys go from a Premier League team to another Premier League team with a $30 million transfer fee.
Yeah.
That instantly tells you how good that guy is.
Tons.
Happens all the time, right? How many times do you see that in MLS? Mm-hmm. You can't.
Never. Yeah,
they don't
you're right.
do it.
That's a good point. I've
so
never.
Like, so how does that? So the value of your players is not. It is only if they go out of your league that then people can find out how good your player is, right? You can only find out. Oh, like Aiden Morris is like a $4 or $5 million transfer. You could have found that out in MLS. Not that I would have wanted that to happen.
Sure.
But you would be able to see that within MLS. That oh, LAFC paid $10 million for this dude. He must be really good, especially if he's a player who's a homegrown in MLS. And he's now getting transfer fees left and right to move around and staying in the league. That just enhances the value of your league to people who only know how to quantify it that way. So if you're trying to grow this league globally, you have to play in a global place. You have to play in a way that people understand.
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way.
Well, I didn't either till this week, but it really never even dawned on me that like, oh yeah, we've never,
strange.
We don't transfer. You don't see transfer fees for guys going across. You can still, if you know the league, you can say, wow, they traded 3 players and 2 picks, but that doesn't happen as often.
No.
Because teams would just rather go out and get a player from Europe. They're not just, now it just enters your players into that pool. And I think that's a way better way to do it.
I would agree. Make it either have the same playing field as the rest of the world.
Yeah. So hopefully that will happen soon. I am past the point now of worrying about MLS's billionaire team owner finances. Like the Crew have a team owner who is worth $5 billion.
He's fine. Like, he wasted $230 million, and he's fine.
He's fine, yeah. So there's all that. What else? Oh, yeah, let's get to some of the Twitter
Let's take
discussion.
A break,
okay,
and then we'll
do
and
that.
And then we'll do it, because we've had a lot of good conversations
all right.
On our Twitter account.
Yeah, we had a few. We had put it out there on Bone Beam United on Twitter. What are the biggest needs for the Crew this offseason? We will tell you what you said next. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United. You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. And intelligently, one member of the show actually used Twitter today to garner some content.
Well, I was getting ready to send you out the email And I had in the email to you about what we wanted to talk about, like, what do you want to see the crew do? And I said, hey, we have a Twitter account for that. Why don't I just fire it off to the listeners of the program and fans of the crew? Like, what would you like to see Issa Tall do in really his first bulk off season with the team?
Right. And so we got some responses. Let's kind of go through them. And then, I mean, do we want to set up what you and I would do first? Like, what's the number one concern here? Or
I think for me, before we get into some of these, I think you need to find someone to pair with Darlington, like on a game in, game out basis. And I know that there are some options out there, like Sean Zawadzki, right? Like, I don't know if he's a game in, game out guy. Like, it's going to be tough to find Aiden Morris, but I do think you need one or two more guys who you would feel comfortable throwing in the lineup, or even having Darlington take some minutes off of game. Like, he plays a lot. He gets knocked around a lot. So central midfield is kind of where I'm looking at as number one biggest area of, not concern, I don't think is the right word, but like areas of improvement. And then I think another one, big one for me, is like center back. It's center back and it's center mid. Like, those are the two that I'm looking at.
Rudy Camacho's done, right? Is he done? I assume he's done. He's getting done. Like, we're moving past the point where I think he's effective. So I think you have to get some help back there for him. Ultimately, now are we taking Cucho, like, his status?
I said, recording a podcast later this morning, wanted to know what you think the biggest to-do item for the offseason for the crew is, quote, other than a lifetime contract extension for Cucho. But yeah, okay. So that is obviously the number one.
If he's suddenly not a part of this team, obviously we all know that shoots up to number one. So beyond that, I think the center mid discussion is very valid. And I think it's not just a problem of we need an Aiden Morris replacement. Sean Zawadzki's a good player. I don't dislike him in any way. I think there were quite a few crew fans who were just like, Aiden Morris leaves, Sean Zawadzki slides in, great. And it's like, done. We're fixed. And I don't think that was ever the case. I think he is a very valuable piece of this team because he can play different positions. I think he is certainly like a very good piece to have as part of three guys who can play that position, right?
Or four,
Yeah, I feel like if you had, like, back when they had Artur and Aiden Morris and Darlington Nagbe, like, it wasn't Aiden getting a lot of play then because he was young, but clearly you could see how anyone would look at that and go, on any given day, depending on the matchup, you could play any of those three guys and you'd feel comfortable. Any combination of those three guys should be good. And we saw that. I mean, you had literally Artur and Aiden Morris win you an MLS Cup from those two spots. Like, because obviously Darlington couldn't play. He got COVID that particular season, 2020. Mm-hmm. So that's where we need to be back to. And I know some people feel like with Zawadzki there, you just need one more piece. I don't know that that's the case. I think you need someone who is an absolute stud replacement for Aiden Morris, who is a no doubter. I think you need a number one. Like, Darlington is your captain. Darlington is your leader. I don't know that he should be your best central midfielder anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there should be someone. I think you should be going out and getting someone who is more talented, or maybe a little younger, or maybe a little bit more dynamic than him.
And he's getting older. I mean, he's logged a lot of minutes.
Then you have him as your, still everyday part of the lineup guy.
Like an Aiden role. Like, that's what Aiden was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was running all over the place.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying, like, I think the next person might need to be filling more of the Aiden style of play. Mm-hmm. Let Darlington be where he is. But then there are games where it's like, hey, you know what? It just makes sense for Darlington to come in off the bench or to take this one off, and we're going to put Zawadzki out there next to this. Like, what I'm saying is I don't think we are in the days where you can just say Darlington Nagbe is the number one guy, central midfield, done. We just can plug anybody next to him and we're good. No, I think that would leave you in a bad spot 2 years from now. I think that would leave you in a bad spot at times in bigger games this year.
So you're saying, I mean, he still is that guy.
I think he's the number one guy now because you don't have anybody else. Mm. But I'm saying I would like you to go out and get someone who costs a lot of money that you say this guy and Darlington can be like 1-1A, and I'm not sure who's better. Like, I want competition at that spot. Is what I'm saying. I don't think
I want winners.
I don't think you're a championship level team if you don't have competition in the central midfield. And I do think, especially in the second half of the year, up and down the middle of the field, it was tough when it was just Darlington.
Yeah.
I don't think he does a ton. I'm not disparaging him at all, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, teams that look at a rock solid guy in the lineup. I mean, he's been here since 2020 and he was rock solid. Then he's been rock solid in Atlanta and Portland before that. There is going to come a time. I mean, he's 34, 35, I want to say,
yeah,
maybe. Like, there's going to come a time in the next few years where it will fall off for him a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't see it happening, like, in the next first half of the year or maybe even all of next year. But I'm saying I don't want it to be he's your best center mid by a mile. You need to have someone now who is, like as good or better than him.
He'll be 35 in July.
Okay. Like, that's – do you think that that's cannot be your plan for the next 3 years?
It can't. Yeah, it just
so
can't.
I'm saying you – but you got two MLS Cups out of him being the main guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's success. Great job. That's exactly what you should do. That's, yes, all good. Now we need to bring in the guy who's 21, 22, or somewhere in that range, or maybe a little older, but he's like – yeah, this guy can. This will be our next Darlington Nagbe. This is our guy who's going to be here for the next 5 to 6 years and hopefully continue to keep that standard up. But in the 2 or 3 years you have those two guys together, awesome. And then Sean Zawadzki becomes plug and play and can spell either of them given if an injury occurs or whatever. Like, you then I feel great. But I think I don't think we need to look for a replacement for, like, maybe an upgrade for Sean Zawadzki. It needs to be like a guy who could theoretically upgrade Darlington Nagbe and move Nagbe down to, like, the second guy in those two.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to be spending the money, go out and get someone.
I do think that's
center,
a place
center of the park who could do everything.
I think because you can find wingers. Like, to me, that's like in the NFL, you can find wide receivers, but if you don't have a quarterback, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find corners, but if you don't have like a couple guys on the defensive line who can absolutely destroy a quarterback, That, to me, is where we're at right now. We need to stop thinking we have our quarterback. I would consider Darlington Nagbe like your quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think you can consider him as like, oh, yeah, we don't need a backup plan for at least another 3 or 4 years. That's not the case.
Yeah, you got to be thinking about that.
You got to be bringing in competition. And so I feel like that's a big need this year. I do think right after that, the back line has to be upgraded. Like,
got to.
Marrera's great. But I don't think you can count on him every – like, I mean, he just had an all-time MLS season.
MLS Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. So, like, that's your number one guy now. Now you need someone next to him that actually holds that up. So, and again, I realize I'm saying, like, you know what we should do? Just have the best players everywhere. But, the center of the park is getting older. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to get a little younger there, and you need to have defensive midfield. Like, when Aiden Morris was there, I felt great. And centrally, I feel like Rudy Camacho's positioning and all that stuff has been great for years, but now it's starting. Teams are getting wise to it, and you're not going to be able to take the chances you do offensively and play the way you do if you don't have a better, like, some more help on that back.
Younger, faster, stronger.
Yep, agreed. So, I think Steven Marrera can now be the positioning smarts guy, and you know, while still being a freak, crazy
and then just
good player,
launch the ball up for Mo and just have Mo run.
Yeah. Right.
Which is what they usually do.
Yeah. And you know what? And I mean, again, there's a lot of talent on this roster. So I don't mean to make it sound like it's all dire, but
we're talking our wish list.
We're trying to compete for Champions Cup here. I'm not trying to just in MLS Cup again. I want to win that.
And like, League's Cup again.
Supporters Shield would be nice. Like, all the above. But I don't think you can look at it and say, like, you have to now seriously contend with the fact that you got to still, until he leaves, stop whatever they're doing in Inter Miami with Lionel Messi. You know,
stop what they're doing out with the Galaxy.
Stop what they're doing with the New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, right.
Didn't stop that. So
no, you didn't.
I don't know. Like, am I wrong about wingers? Do you feel like
that?
Yeah.
Unless it's a generational guy.
Yeah, but even then, I think in MLS, those guys. I just don't think MLS is a league where you can afford to have like an $8 million player on the wing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you got
him
have,
up top. Like, no, Cucho. Well,
yeah, or have him floating like Cucho sometimes does, where he comes back and get like you need. Those, like, I see spending that money in the middle of the field. I definitely don't see spending it out.
Yeah, like our last two big ones, and Lucas and Cucho.
Right. And I think, obviously.
A Lucas would be nice.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
If you're talking about that as like a, like, that would be nice.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Front line, we obviously, I think, like, Christian Ramirez is gone, right?
I think so.
That happened. I think. I don't know if they're bringing him back. Doesn't sound like they are. So you've got to find someone up top who can pair with Cucho. That, I mean, and again, you got Diego Rossi, who is really good. Mm-hmm. But I think you still need another, the way they like to play under Wilfried Nancy, like, I'm curious to see how he wants to deploy. Now that, you know what I mean? They obviously could have brought Christian Ramirez back. They could have done something with that. Doesn't seem like they're going to. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I know I'm being very obvious. Like, you should have a great central midfielder. You should have a great, like, center back. And you should have a great guy up top.
Everybody should be great. Stud.
Yeah, but, like,
Max Arfston's good.
Yeah, Arfston is good. I like him, right? I'm not denying that you need wingbacks in modern soccer. I get it. Yeah. But, like, I think the Crew have found, they have shown they can find those guys. I think you really should go out and you have to pay for some true quality in the center of the park. So let's hope that happens. But I don't know. What is the actual Twitter response been?
All right, so we'll just go down the list. Matt said, oh, look at you. Matt said, we need the next Darlington Nagbe.
Oh,
hey. Very tall ask. He's our most important player, and we need to cover that role. Wherever in the world that player is, find him and sign him. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Agreed. Yeah.
All right. Good job.
We're
Matt.
On the same page there, dude.
I think we all are. Another Matt LFC Crew, which I'm guessing he's a Liverpool fan. New central defender and more midfield depth.
Okay. Yeah. I think these are obviously, I feel pretty strongly about that, but that sounds spot on to me.
Tyler said address center back, secret bonus option, moving Nagby's contract off of a DP spot. Now, ooh, that, yeah, now that's a good one, Tyler.
Now that's, again, this is where we're talking about, like,
this is Issa Tall. That's Issa Tall. Yeah. That's him.
Yeah, but that's solid business you got to think about in MLS, right? And I don't know where Darlington, again, that all comes down to paying down with Tam and Gam. You can give him some money, and then he still gets
but
all the money.
We were unable to do that with Lucas, right? We couldn't. We couldn't buy down Darlington's contract at that time.
I don't think
maybe
we could.
We can now.
Maybe now you can. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Darlington Nagbe has earned everything he's getting.
Yes, he has.
I'm not trying
more,
to take any
more
money.
Than he's earned.
Right. He's a tremendous player. And I'm not trying to overlook him in any way. It's just, you know, if Cucho were here 5 years from now, I'd be saying the same thing. Like, all right, this guy's been awesome. You got to find the next Cucho. Like, you know, but Darlington's a little further along in his career there.
Nate said, fill the hole at center mid and center mid depth, sorely needed for another possible 50-plus game season. There's a theme. It's center mid and it's center backs.
But that whole idea of 50-plus games, that's it, man. Like, it's just a lot of games. It's nothing against these guys. You can't expect them to all hold up for 50 games with the same starting 11. It's just
you're playing year-round, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you start your season in February and you make it all the way to MLS Cup, I mean, you were talking about February to December. It's all year. It's 10 months.
And what's crazy is that's a longer offseason than they get in Europe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in Europe, it's you're playing through May. If there's no international competition in June or July, then you get off till the middle of August. You barely get 2 months there.
Derek said Camacho replacement. Yes, it's got to be addressed. I mean, you gotta find someone at that center back piece. Randy said, aside from center back position, which has been said already, the Crew needs to get a bit younger across the board. I'm with that. I mean, it is a very veteran lineup. I would like to see some youth being shaken into this roster.
Well, and I guess I should bring up, too, I mean, I'm not under any delusions that the next Darlington Nagbe is sitting in the Crew Academy or whatever, but they will have players they're going to bring up from Crew 2. They're going to have guys.
We'll see how he does this season.
Right.
Russell Rowe, I mean, can he make next big step?
Yeah. And again,
some good moments, had some bad moments.
That's a fair. I probably shouldn't have just said it like, oh, and we need someone next Cucho. Like, you're right. I think Jason Russell Rowe has earned the right to play alongside Cucho, but you're going to still need depth there. Like,
yes.
I think that's more of a depth thing. But, yeah, see what the three of them can do. Those two and Diego Rossi. Like, yeah, let's.
AZ Jackson, can you take the step?
Yeah, man, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I didn't feel great about.
No.
I know they like him a lot. I don't see it, but I know I've heard the hype. Like, I've seen all the hype about him and all that stuff, but I just don't see it on the actual field.
And that's fine. I mean, he's still a young player, and maybe he can get
right.
There.
Yeah, hopefully he does.
John said, sign Cuckoo and don't become the Guardians. I'm guessing he meant Cucho.
Don't become the Guardians, right? Don't. No, exactly right.
And then Paul, who tweets us all the time, said, good morning. Center mid of the eight variety who can progress the ball. Imagine taller and more physical Matan and a new center back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're all sensing, though, like, Aiden Morris was much more connective to, I think.
But we knew that.
Yeah, like, I think it started out where Darlington was much more of the like connections guy and still great positioning and defensively and all that, but he just was such a motor. Mm-hmm. And then as time kind of went on, I feel like, and maybe I'm misremembering, I feel like Aiden Morris was much, I mean, again, a great ball winner, all that stuff, but you really saw like right before he left how he was just pinging passes and kind of, and then Darlington is a smart enough player to be like, let him go. Let him do his thing. I'm good here.
And they kind of swapped, didn't they? Like, yeah. Darlington kind of took a few steps back, and then Aiden would kind of be up into the mixer a little bit.
And that just depends on the game, the matchup, everything, what your responsibilities
Ideally,
are.
Ideally, you would like both guys to be able to do that and play off of each other.
And both of them can. Like, yeah. Darlington has definitely done that throughout his career. He is a tremendous player. I think you just need another guy who it's like an equal. If today's not the day for Darlington to go up and do that stuff, let Aiden, the new Aiden Morris guy that you need. I don't know where that guy comes from, but it's not my job to find him.
No, it's not. It's not our job. Not my job, man.
Yeah. And I'm sure their scouts are looking, you know, they're working on that, but I will see. Well, thank you all for the feedback. We love that.
Thanks everybody for interacting.
It's great.
How are you feeling heading into the off season? Like, it's a much different feeling coming off MLS Cup last year to this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's so weird because when they lost to Red Bull, I was just like, man, this sucks. And I just kind of like, whatever. It was a good year. I'm just frustrated. And now I think I'm starting to unpack.
I'm kind of like at an immediate crossroads now with them.
Interesting. What do you mean?
Like, I feel like it's kind of a, not a make or break year, but I think if this year goes sideways, then it'll be like a full on restructure rebuild.
That's very interesting. I do see that.
Just because the amount of veterans on this team, I know that there's good young pieces, but being a fan of this league for as long as I have been. But
you've seen how it goes.
But like, I see as quickly as it comes up and you have sustained success, as quickly as it can topple down.
Yeah, well, I mean, even in that weird COVID year, right, where the Crew won MLS Cup, the next 2 years they missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And part of that was coaching, but part of it was, I think, the roster a bit too. It wasn't, like, terrible. It just, something had to be shaken up with that. And that's nothing, I think Wilfried Nancy is the right guy. I think he's a very smart coach, all that stuff.
Course.
What I do think now is part of what we're going to find out with him, because, you know, he hasn't been a head coach for terribly long in MLS. This is the first time we're really going to see him working with a front office to now go out and restructure this team a bit.
It's your team.
And like I said, I think the crossroads we're at for sure is, does Cucho stay or go? Mm-hmm. Big, big crossroads there, right? That changes the whole dynamic of this offseason if he goes. And then you've got to figure out what you do centrally, like we discussed. That is again, looking at Darlington Nagbe has been a given in this lineup, and he still will be, but you have to find someone next to him who can really shore that up. And then, you know, Rudy Camacho has been kind of just a pencil him in as like automatically good. And now we saw the cracks this year where you're like, I think we probably got to address that too. Mm-hmm. So now that's on Wilfried Nancy. Will he lean on his tendencies or lean on his players where he's like, I still trust Rudy more than some of you do, or I still trust whatever, or I still think, or will he say, I've got to get ahead of it? You know, and it was with Montreal. He was there for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have, I mean, he's been here longer with the Crew now, I feel like. So
same amount of time.
As a head coach.
Yeah.
So that's where, to your point, I think we are a bit at a crossroads.
Patrick Schulte, what are you doing? You
could be that he's soon, you know, for Europe or Lord knows where else, right?
I
mean, he's obviously very talented. A lot of people have already kicked the tires on him and they
still
will continue
going
to
other places. Like, I mean, it seems like there's There's a lot, and you can't see me right now, but I'm waving my hands over my head. There's a lot that's way up top.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily know. So you're trying to put together your team to best fit your MLS season and hopefully a deep run into the Champions Cup as well. But you've also got some very big Jenga pieces that you need to get addressed. Mm-hmm. Not before you address anything else with the rest of the team. But if Cucho does, how does that impact you? Where do you go from there? Does it change your play style? And then are you more aggressive in the center mid market? Like, there's just –
well,
that's the big one.
Remember,
obviously.
Too, like in the last year, we have seen quite a few pieces of the Crew front office that built that MLS Cup roster that have gone, right, to take other jobs. And so now Issa Tall is rebuilding some of that too with his guys and now has to go out and – it's a challenging offseason, I feel like, for the Crew.
Yeah. You're,
like, no doubt, if the expectation was, well, hey, man, I just want the Crew to be like a plucky playoff team, they'll be that.
Yeah.
They'll be right there fighting for a playoff spot, no questions. Even if they do nothing, they'll still be that team.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
But, like, I'm saying even if they lose Cucho, like, they'll still be a playoff fighting kind of team. But that's not the expectation I think we're all accustomed to now. And that's where I see your Crossroads thing a bit, too, is this a team that is going to regularly compete for MLS Cups over the next 5 years?
It just seems
to
be.
Or is it going to be like, we need a couple years where we're going to be struggling to make the playoffs to get back to that?
So
I don't know.
The 2020 team and the 2023 team had a lot of similarities and a lot of the same pieces. Going forward from that 2023 team and then into this new wave into the future, I don't know what that connectivity between the 23 title team looks like.
Yeah.
And then the next competitor that we have.
And I'm not hoping for this in any stretch of the imagination, but 2020 team was built around, like, offensively, the attack was built around the capabilities of Lucas El Rayon. Mm-hmm. 2023 team, obviously, he was gone. He was sent packing.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then it was all about the attacking prowess of Cucho Hernandez and Diego Rossi. And that worked out. It was really good. Can we rely on that for 2025, 26, 27?
Right.
I'd love to hope so. I want to believe that. But also, there's a chance that they may have to figure something else out because that may not last.
That's where the Crossroads thought came from.
Yeah. And then, look, I mean, as much as I want Cucho to be here forever and all that's accurate, like, what's the price? You know, if someone comes to you with $25 million, it's a lot of scratch. But also, that's a lot of money to go make some changes. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they are going to keep Cucho. That would be where I would bet on it if I were betting on it right now. But yeah, I mean, the reality is they're going to have to put more into this roster to get what they want out of it. These other teams are not slowing down.
Right.
They're not
speeding up, actually.
Yeah. They're adding, I mean, Inter Miami sold one of their guys just a few days ago.
Brighton.
Yeah, right. And, like, I'm just saying, these other teams that have these great talented players, they're also shipping guys off and getting money to reload and go out and get some more dudes. So we'll see what happens. But the Crew obviously have to be cognizant of that, too. So
you got a billionaire owner.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Fine.
Got a billionaire owner who still wants to know if the thing's making money that he bought,
yeah.
You know, and if it's profitable. And he's won a couple cups now, too.
Yes.
So, like, that's the other thing is they've been successful since they've come here. How invested are they in continuing to, like, let's say they have to lose money to win another MLS Cup. Would they be willing to do that? I hope so, but I don't know the answer because now they've won a couple of them. And I don't know if they made or lost money on those, but I'm just pointing out that if they didn't, maybe this is not the time
maybe
where they're
maybe don't sign Messi to Miami.
Well, that's, you're right. But you know what? That's probably why there's going to be an Inter-Miami game up in Cleveland.
Yep.
Make some money. That's what they're, I'm sure they're going to do something like that. That would be my guess. But, all right. Real quick, do we want to talk anything Champions League? I just wanted to bring up
Aston. I haven't watched any this week.
I can't
get into the group stage. I hate it. I hate this.
The group stage is hard because you don't know what anything means. But, I mean, here's what I know. Like, Aston Villa, not a team that's perennially in Champions League. Obviously, I'm rooting for them.
Mm-hmm.
They went into Leipzig, took on RB Leipzig. Had a fantastic game. It was 3-2, bunch of goals, bunch of stuff. Goals getting pulled off the board for offside. But, like, just a back and forth. Every time I looked up, it was another just a crazy game. So, but that's, you know, massive for them to be able to go out.
You
and
guys,
win
you're
on the
in
road.
Third.
I know.
Nice.
I'm saying, like, that's they're legitimately looking at a spot now where, depending on how things fall, they may just get that bye.
Two
into
more
the next
match
round.
Days, right?
I think
two more.
So.
We play eight in the first round.
Yeah. And they're in third. So they're in a real good spot. So for Aston Villa, that's the type of, you know, that's where they want to be. That's a really cool thing for them.
Oh, God. I'm looking at the standings right now. PSG is in 24th.
Yeah, dude. They're having a mess of it right now.
Yuck.
Been bad for them. Not good at all.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. They're at risk of not making the next round.
Yeah. They're tied points with Feyenoord.
It's like 9 to 27?
Yeah. 9 to 24.
24. Okay. So they're like right on the – they're right on the cusp of being out. Crazy. That is nuts. So now, you know what? The next couple match days will be good for you, though.
Yeah.
Because then it'll be like, all right.
I need to know what I'm watching.
Yeah, you need to know which
of
these teams.
I need to know what I'm watching.
Like, you'll know, I would guess that probably for the next match day, we'll have a few that it's like, they win their tie this game, they're locked into a bye for the next round.
Yeah.
If they lose this game, they're out. Like that, you know, we will start getting to some of that.
Like Villa, if they lose the next two, like they could be dropped from getting the bye to then to play in the first round.
They could be in the first round, of course. It's not, nothing's done yet.
Other than Liverpool, I think they're safe.
Well, yeah, Liverpool's been.
Ass kickers.
They've been.
Arne Sloat just making all.
Making it all happen
for them. Liverpool fans forget that Jurgen Klopp even existed.
Jurgen who?
Exactly.
Right, that's what they're saying.
Exactly.
That's what that's. Word on the streets, what they're saying.
They're awesome. Liverpool. They're ass kickers.
Dude, they are everything you want out of a soccer team right now.
Good
they're fantastic.
Them. Good for them.
Fun to watch. Mo Salah doesn't really like that he hasn't gotten his contract offer, but who cares?
His hair looks sweet. Does.
Does. It looks good. Got whatever you got to do. Make it happen. What was the other thing I was going to bring up to you? Oh, did we find out how Brest is doing?
Oh, my God. They're in fifth. It was great. That was great television. That was great. Kate Abdo, Thierry Henry, Jamie Carragher, and then Michael Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they wouldn't let Michael Richards talk about it because they said he was too inappropriate. And then they just went on and said, how do you feel about them? Like, I think they've got a good shape.
Yeah. No, it was really good.
You want two big ones up top?
It was good job out of those guys. I showed that to Bob and he loved it.
Oh, it's I'll tell you, man, the Paramount, Kate Abdo,
yeah.
CBS, whatever that desk is you want to call that, that crew with Thierry Henry and all them, they are just, they're like inside the NBA for this.
It's good.
They do a fantastic job. I think they make the sport more accessible for people.
Brest is in fifth place ahead of Barcelona behind Inter.
Oh, they're a fantastic story. They are like, I mean, again, I know all the jokes and all that stuff, but like they truly are like one of these smaller clubs that was able to get to the Champions League out of France. And now I made the
doing
joke.
Big things.
I made the joke last week that I took I once visited Brest and I took the train from Nice.
Yeah.
It's the Nice Brest Express, which is so stupid. That's Nice, obviously. We know that's, yeah. But yeah, they're also, I looked those two, they could not be further apart. Those two parts of France. Nice is like, I think on the south coast.
Yeah.
And Brest is like almost up by, like as close as you can get to England. Almost.
Okay.
They're like way up there.
Wow.
Yeah. Way up on the northern part of the sea there.
It should be in the Premier League.
Could be.
Yeah.
There's so many jokes.
Premier, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know there is.
What was the last thing there was? Oh, doesn't Jose Mourinho has something he's frustrated
yeah,
about?
Yeah, he hates Manchester City, thinks that they should get relegated into League One. Like, miss the championship and go into League One.
Is that because of all the financial fair play stuff?
Yeah. He goes, listen, we're the big sharks. Like, all of a sudden, I'm at Roma, I'm handcuffed, doing what I need to do. Teams are $5 or $10 over their spending cap. They get points deductions all the time. Man City have 115 charges. He goes, I love Pep. Work with Pep. I was an assistant while he was a player. Have a great relationship. It's nothing against them, but they should be relegated into League One.
I mean, what is the argument for that not to happen?
I don't know.
Like, what is the argument for them not to at least be relegated?
I saw that their charges got bumped up from 115 to 130, so they added 15 more on.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, like, at some point, if your argument is, well, it's so much, it's almost like, it's like if you reach a level of murdering where people are like, well, he just murdered so much. Maybe there was a reason for him to murder, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a point where people are like, is this justifiable? I'm not sure. It's like, no, it's not. This guy just committed more crimes than anyone. You don't get to like ignore that, you know, but like the volume of it allows people to somehow feel good about that or like
for Jose.
Not feel as bad about it.
Good for him. He's out there just saying his thoughts.
Right. Like what I'm saying is, again, like if you commit one murder, people are like, put that guy in jail. But if you drop a bomb on a city, they're like, well, what'd the city do? Like that. I'm just saying that's how we think about crime. And that's how we think about bad in life. We're like, well, they did drop a bomb on this city, but it was a military. Why'd they have to do that? I'm just saying it gets murky. Manchester City is literally saying like 120, 150 charges.
Who cares?
You don't even know what we have to. You don't even understand where we're at. We're at a whole different plane.
If it was two, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
points deduction.
They punish you instantly. But when it's like hundreds of charges, you're like, ah, come on. None of
those
are real.
They're deducting points themselves this year anyways. Doesn't matter for them.
I like that. This is a good shot.
Liverpool's like the best team of all time now, but still.
Hey, you know what? It's not like it got better for you. It's not like your guys.
It's because I didn't come and see that stupid trophy in the summertime. That's why.
Oh, you think that's what happened?
Yeah.
You not gracing it with your presence caused it to fail?
Yeah.
All right. You
I'm
know what?
Taking it. Let me have this.
I'm going to say you're
Let
right.
Let me have this.
I'm going to say you're right. It didn't get the kiss of beam, and so it's the kiss of death. That's right. I like it. All right. Anything else you want to get to?
No, United stink.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Fine.
Buddy. Here's what we're going to do. Next week, one final podcast for the year.
Oh, man.
Maybe we'll do a little top 10 of something. I don't know.
Sure.
And then we'll be out of your hair for a few weeks. We'll come back, I don't know, better than ever. We'll come back.
We'll
January.
Be rested and relaxed.
There you go. Not, be ready to go
probably
in January.
Not.
Probably stressed from all the family and everything
Mike
else.
Mike Vrabel will be the coach of the Buckeyes. Everything will be perfect.
Chop it off. Mm-hmm. Hashtag chop it off. Yep. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.